Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus. Psalms 103 and 1. If you all could stand for the reading of the word from the front to the back. There's no reason you can't stand for the reading of the word. If you're not, it's probably just through rebellion, and we hope that you're not rebellious. The pastor, you put it that way, I did. Come on. If you're sick or you got a situation, I understand, but if possible, let's stand for the reading of the word. It's just three verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all. Everybody say all. His benefits. Who forgiveth all? Everybody say all. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all? Everybody say all. Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm going to talk today from this title, with this picture that you're not going to understand at this moment, but hopefully you will. I'm going to talk about it as well. It is well. Somebody look at somebody around you and say, it is well. It is well. Jesus, I ask you to touch today, God. I ask you to touch every individual, every heart that's here today, God. Lord, I'm asking that you would help me, God. I feel like you have spoke to me. And I'm going to believe that today. And God, I believe that you're going to captivate this audience, Lord. You're going to keep people from wavering here or there with their mind or thoughts. And God, you're going to bring them into captivity. God, we know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers, principalities. And God, I'm asking today, God, that your spirit, you would send your angels into this place today, God. I pray that you would even open somebody's eyes, that they could see the angels that surrounded around the walls in this place today. And I'm asking that you would help us today, God, to receive everything that you have for us in this place today. In Jesus' wonderful name. Church, say amen. Amen. I am thankful for what God has done in Marion, Kentucky. Is anybody else thankful for what God has done through this church, Harvest House, in Marion, Kentucky? Anybody else? I am. I'm thankful. We may look around today, and would be easy to think that God has not done very much. Although I would guess that this, I don't know the official number back there, but I would guess this is probably the best crowd we've had here at the church to date this year. But God has been good to us. For nothing else, just the simple fact that there is a church in this city. And there is a church in this county that preaches and believes in the oneness of God and baptizes people in the only saving name, which he is what I've been talking about today. Anybody know his name? Jesus. As we begin to count, Sister Cheryl doubted me. For some reason. But I told her. I said, you know what? We have seen well over 100 people repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus over the 17 years of our existence in this church. Not all of those received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, but many of them also received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Obviously, not all of them are here today. And not all of them are even living for Jesus at this point. But Harvest House has given those hundreds of people, not just those that were baptized in Jesus' name, but those hundreds of people that have walked through these doors of this church. Harvest House has given them the best chance of making heaven their home in this area, praise God, because it takes being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And as I look through pictures today of services of days gone by, my heart swelled with joy with so many awesome and incredible services. I was looking for some particular photos, so I was going through the Harvest House photos. And those of you that's a part of Harvest House, go to the page, click on photos, and just begin to scroll. God has done great things in this church. And as I looked through those pictures, and I was saying, oh, wow, Sister Cheryl was in there trying to cook. And she'd come in there, and she'd say, this is addicting, and I want to see them. I said, you need to get back here and get cooking. She said, you need to hush then. But I couldn't help myself as I was being reminded of all the great victories that God has given us through the time, and seeing the awesome and incredible services, the outings that we had. How many remember the block party we had several years ago in Food Giant parking lot, and 10 people were baptized in the name of Jesus and 7 received the gift of the Holy Ghost that day. Not all of those are necessarily in church, but I know one of them that was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. His sister Ashley's brother-in-law, John, and he's still endeavoring to try his best to live for God. And I seen where his daddy was baptized out here. Jason was baptized. And I seen some of the pictures where some of you were baptized in the name of Jesus. And it reminded me of just how great God has done some things in this church. Harvest House, a church that started in that little storefront church building, or that little building, storefront building that I was talking about earlier, to the place that we are here today. It's not the best building in the world, but we're blessed just outside the city. But we're blessed. Everybody say we're blessed. And today, part of the reason we are here, it is to celebrate the fact that this building is paid off. Amen. Is anybody thankful that this building is paid off? And we're going to do, praise God, and what we're going to do today, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now. We're going to burn the deed. Y'all see that? Right up here in the corner, it says paid. It says paid. It's got my initials down here. Got Brother David's initials down here because we the two got on there and signed it, and it's paid. Brother Texas, I need you to come help me. That's what we're hoping don't happen. That's why I got my bottle of water right here. I want Brother Texas to help me because he was a big reason that this thing has helped paid off. Burn it, baby. Light that thing. We'll do their best to keep it from going too crazy here, all right? This should be a time that you and I should be thankful. God has paid this place off. And this is why this is Victory Sunday, praise God. Look at that. $35,000. It was supposed to be paid off in 20 years. And thankful to what God has done, it has been paid off. Praise the Lord. I think it was 11 or 12 years, whatever the fact was. And I know it was some extreme circumstances, but thank God the building is paid off. And this is one of the reasons we're here today, is to celebrate, praise God, that God has, hallelujah, he has paid this, helped us pay this building off. So what I'd like us to do, from the front to the back, I would like us to stand to our feet right now and begin to clap our hands and thank God and celebrate the fact that God has helped us pay off this building. Let me take it farther than that. We even have a new van out here that is also paid for too, praise God. Hallelujah. So let's thank God for it. Amen. Victory Sunday. Now, I've got you hyped. So let me pull you down. Because the last 3 years have been some of the hardest years of the existence of Harvest House. We have suffered so many losses since 2020 happened. Since 2020 has happened, we lost 8 people to death. 5 of those in one day to that horrible car accident. And if you want to stretch it back to 2016, I counted, and I may have been mistaken, but I counted 13 people that's been taken from this congregation because of death. And then if you want to add in the fact that my mom died in 2017, Cheryl's mom died in 2019, and if I'm not mistaken, Bobby's brother John died in 2019 as well. Was it 19? And not to mention that 2020 was a year of a proving year, a year that caused many people to walk away from this church because it would seem that their hearts were just not turned towards Jesus. And with the stigma of fear that has been pushed over the last 3 years and the tremendous loss that our church, Harvest House here, has seen over those last several years, it's also brought a devastating mindset to this assembly that today I want to try to break off from us. Because of the loss, Sister Stephanie, we have forgotten what it's like to celebrate what God has done. And we have found ourselves so much concentrating on the things that we don't have instead of what we do have. Praise the Lord. And I begin to study and think about this. I'm reminded of the words that Brother Ryan Nears said to my beautiful bride a few years back when he told her to concentrate more on those that will instead of those that won't. And what we have seen in our church, we have concentrated on those that is not willing to and forgotten about the fact there are still some people that still will, praise God. And surely we as an assembly have done the opposite of what the wise words of Brother Ryan Near said to us, and we've concentrated on the wrong things. Amen. To prove the point, I almost took a picture before I burned it, because on the top corner of that deed, you know what the date of payoff was? Does anybody know? February 28th. February 28th. Of 2022. The church has been paid off for 1 year. Amen. And we've yet to celebrate it like this. Amen. Driving home the point of the fact that you and I have gained the mindset of this world of looking more at what we don't have and not celebrating what we do have. Oh, come on. I come today to try to preach somebody out of your dilemma. I come to try to preach this church out of this place and this funk that we're in and bring us into what God really wants this church to be in. And that's in a church that's having victory, praise God. 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, as we made our way back from holiday or from Kentucky Youth Convention, we had the young people. How many young people went to KYC? Come on, raise your hand. We had a celebration that day. And we were celebrating the fact that we had some young people to have some great things happen to them that day. And we had some incredible testimonies. And Jenna, I'm going to hold you to your testimony. You remember what you said? I remember what you said, and that's one reason it's good to testify, because it holds you accountable. I'm going to hold you to it, honey. I'm ready to see you become everything God, hallelujah, has called you to be. You guys got up here and you testified about what God has done and this and that. But there was somebody that didn't go to KYC and wanted to testify. And that was Brother Bobby. He asked, can I testify as well? It's like he didn't go to Kentucky Youth Convention, but he wanted to testify because that week God had kind of done something to him and he'd done some changes and he felt better. But at the end of his testimony, he said something that went over top of everybody's head. Can anybody name what he said? I know. See, those of you, who was here 2 weeks ago? Yeah, that was most of us. You know what Bobby said? Bobby said this. He said this, it went right over our heads. Not mine, because I caught it. And I caught the response of the church. Bobby, thank God that there was more here than there usually is. And those of us here just let it go right over top of our head. And if I wasn't for sure when I wrote my notes down, but I went back to double check. I thought it was the most that we had had to the year at that date, but it was just a few shy. We had 31 here that day, and we'd had the most was 34. We got how many today?
36.
Got 36 here today. But here's the thing. We let it go right over our heads, and we was more worried. Not worried about the fact that was one of the largest crowds we'd had in this building to the date. You know why? The devil does not want us to celebrate any kind of victory whatsoever. The devil does not want you to celebrate anything that God has done in your life. Praise God. The devil. Everybody say the devil. He is the enemy of our soul. He hates it when we celebrate any kind of victory, Sister Penny. He hates it, praise God. You know why? Because the devil knows the Word of God better than any of us in this building. You know why he knows the Word of God better than any of us? Because he's had people that quote him the Word of God over and over and over into their life. Matter of fact, he knows what that Word says, and he understands the fact. And the devil knows the following verses that I'm fixing to read to this congregation. And it would do you well to listen to the words today, because the devil knows them better than you do. And if you're not careful, he is using it against people in this building today. He's using this verse against you. You know how he's using it? He's keeping it blinded from your eyes. He's keeping your mindset on the things that you don't have and not the blessings that God has given you. He's keeping you, praise God, from realizing all the great things that God has done. And this is the verses that says this, Revelation 12:6-11. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,203 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael. Does anybody know who Michael is? Not Michael and Bernard that didn't come today. Michael the archangel, one of the three mighty archangels, praise God. And his angels fought against the dragon. Does anybody know who the dragon is? It's the devil. He used to be called Lucifer. He used to be one of the other archangels, praise the Lord. And that dragon fought and his angels. And the Bible said, and prevailed not, neither was there found a place any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which does what? He deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast into the earth, and his angels was cast with him. And listen to what it says. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser, everybody say the accuser, of the brethren has been cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Sister Suzanne, the devil is accusing God something about you. He's constantly accusing God of something about you. He's accusing your brothers and sisters something. He's telling somebody in their ear, saying, this one don't like you, and that one don't like you, and you're no good, and you're unworthy. And the devil is speaking to us. But let me tell you what. He don't care. The devil, he don't care for you reading all the way down through there, but he wants you to take verse 11 and wipe it out of your memory. He never wants you to read verse 11, because verse 11 is one of the most powerful verses in the Word of God. Verse 11, praise God, is something that you and I'm trying my best to get somebody to get a revelation of here today. And the Bible says this, and they overcame him. You know who he's talking about? The devil, by the blood of the Lamb. I preached about that blood just a little bit earlier. How do we overcome him? By Jesus saves us of our sins, praise the Lord, by the blood that's applied to our life. And listen what the next word says, and by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. The devil does not want you to say anything about what God has done for you in your life. Oh, come on, says, oh, but I don't have no great testimony. I'm not even living for God. That let me tell you right now, that's absolutely irrelevant. Whether you're saved or not saved, whether you're close to God or you're not close to God, whether you pray every day or you pray once a month or you never pray, all of that's absolutely irrelevant. It doesn't matter whether you're saved or not saved. The devil does not want you to say anything good about God and testify the fact that God has done anything, because anytime you bring attention to God and praise Him, that's when you get God's attention, and that's when God turns towards you and he starts turning your direction and he starts doing something for your life. So guess what the devil's going to try to do? He's going to keep you in the molly grubs. You know why the depression is running rampant in this city, in this area? That's why there's some sitting in this place today. You've already been contemplating suicide. You've already thought it today. You've been thought out plans in your mind about how you can kill yourself today. Hallelujah. And you know why that is? Because the devil doesn't want anybody voicing out and saying anything about the fact that God is good and God is great. Because when you do, that is the greatest testimony. That is the greatest advantage you've got, because it makes you an overcomer over the accuser of our brethren, praise God, which is the devil. Amen. What is the word of your testimony? What is the word? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's every big victory that God has given you in your life. Thank you, Jake. And I was going there next. And it's also was every little victory that God has given you in your life. You know what it is? For us old folks, is when you get up in the morning and you're not hurting all over. And that is a little victory. And you're like, thank God, I feel better than I did yesterday. Praise the Lord. You know what? You know how that translates, praise the Lord? It's to us adults, it's like this. Thank God, I've got my water bill paid. I've got my electric bill paid. I've got my heat bill paid this month. It may not think that's very much, but when you're an adult and you get that stuff paid, it's a victory, praise God. And what would happen if you and I would start thanking God for the little victories, praise the Lord. Oh, come on, start thanking God for everything. Some of you kids, you know what? You live in hell every day in your life, but let me tell you what, if you would get up and you say, you know what? This is Sunday. This is a time that I get to go to church and I get to have a little bit peace, because I don't have peace at my house, but I can have it at church. And I'm glad when I can get to the house of God, because there I have peace. And if we could celebrate everything that happens, if you get up in the morning, praise God, and you've got electricity and you've got power and you've got, no matter if it's a little bit of food, but you've got some food and you thank God for it. If we would audibly begin to open our mouth, praise God, and start saying, yeah, thank God for everything. Oh, come on. When you're at work or when you're at school and somebody else is complaining about life, and you just tie them in a little bit and say, you know what? My life is a little tough, but I thank God I'm still alive. And I thank God I got a church to go to. And I thank God, hallelujah, for this. And I thank God for that, praise God. Oh, come on. I know. I hear that voice of reason here today. I heard it as I was writing it down, because I hear it all the time. I know there's some here today, you're saying, I feel unworthy to even testify. I feel unworthy to even say anything that God has done good for me, because I'm a sinner. I've messed up this week. I've done something I shouldn't have done this week, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. I understand. I hear your voice out there, but the psalmist gave us hope today. Hallelujah. In Psalms 150 in verse 6, when he made these words present, and he says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner, and if it doesn't matter if you're a saint. It doesn't matter if you're cold or if you're indifferent. If you have breath, you have a right to say thank you, Jesus. If you have breath, you have a right to say, I thank you that there's blue skies and not 17 inches of snow on the ground. Praise God. Or if you like snow, saying, I thank God for 17 inches of snow and it's not pretty today. You've got a right, praise God, to thank God for the things that bring you blessings, for the things that does you good in your life. You've got a right today, praise God. You know what? Even that dog outside your door yipping and hollering, maybe he's just hollering out in your place. Praise God. Maybe you're not praising God, so God's letting your dog bark all night long because you won't praise God at all during the day. Maybe that's what's going on, because he's got breath. If he's got breath, he's got a right to praise God. Maybe that's why the wind came blowing through this area. There were some people not praising God, so he said, I'll let the breath of God blow through here. I might knock a few trees down and some roofs all, praise God, but I'm going to have praise. I'm going to have glory. And the devil hates it when you praise God. The devil hates it, praise the Lord, when you open your mouth up and give God any kind of praise. Amen. Because he understands when you begin to praise God, there's something happens in the heaven. You get up in the morning and you fought hell. You had bad dreams. You, as my wife calls them, you had stress dreams. Everybody have stress dreams? You thought about something before you went to bed, or you watched something before you went to bed you shouldn't have watched, or you listened to something you shouldn't have listened to before you went to bed, and you dreamed about it all night long. Come on, anybody, you've been there, right? Huh? Come on, yeah. You wake up in the morning, if you could wake up, oh, come on, I've had them bad dreams, and I woke up and I was like, oh, thank God that was just a dream. Come on. The devil don't want you to wake up and even utter the words, thank you, Jesus, for anything. Because he understands, Allie, the moment you say, thank you, Jesus, and whatever you put behind it, he automatically perks his ear up. It automatically turns. If his back is turned away from the most rank sinner, if all of a sudden if he begins to thank God and he goes in a place of repentance and say, God, forgive me. I'm no good. I'm nasty. I'm a wretched sinner. But Lord, I thank you. The moment you say thank you, he automatically turns towards you because you're getting his attention. And that's why the devil wants to keep you in depression, that you never say anything good. You never have anything to say good about anybody or anything. And this is why we're celebrating today, the fact, and it's a year too late. And this is why I want us to start celebrating everything that happens in this church. Anybody, praise God. If you come to the house of God, that's enough reason to say, I made it back. I made it back to the house of God. I made it back again. I'm calling on our church right now, praise God, to start praising God and testifying for everything you can think of. If you've just been battling hell and we come back in here in the next service and you've had one day good out of 4 days, you ought to say, Pastor, I've had a rough week, but I had one good day. Thank God for it, praise the Lord. You know what you're doing? The moment you do that, you're turning God's attention and he's looking at you. Let me tell you what, if God's attention is on you, the devil doesn't like it, because anytime God puts his attention on you, praise the Lord, something mighty happens in your life. Here's my question today. What would happen if every... Hey, let me say this before I go any farther. I tagged this Sunday as Victory Sunday. Not everybody caught the vision I throwed out there. But some of you did. And some of you walked in here today with victory on your mind. And if you haven't noticed, this probably has been one of the better services that we've had in this church to date this year, because something was put out there to come in here with a mindset of celebrating victory. And you know what happened? It changed the scope of this service. What would happen if every Sunday we called it Victory Sunday? If every Sunday we walked in here that mindset, I'm going to thank God for what he's done for me this week. I'm going to thank God that praise the Lord. Bobby sent me a screenshot of him paying his KU bill this week. And I said, praise the Lord. You got it paid. Praise the Lord. That might not be much to you, and you can just write a check and stick it out there or whatever. But to a young man like him, making what he's making, now living on his own, that's a victory that I want to celebrate with Bobby today. Thank God. You know one reason? He's been paying his tithes. Praise the Lord. And when you do that, God will bless you. What would happen when we come in here and we not only make Sunday a Victory Sunday, but we make our Thursdays a Victory Thursday? We come in saying, you know what? I'm making to the house of God today. I'm going to celebrate the fact that I have victory. I made it back to the house of God again. I made it back here. Praise. What? Man, let's go a little farther. What would happen if every day? Every day, Brother David, we wake up with breath in our body that we make it a day of victory. What would happen if every day when you got out of bed, the first thing you would think of would not be your phone, would not be the text message you might have got or didn't get, but the first thing you think about, praise God, is not Facebook, it's not the news, it's not your Netflix show or your show, whatever show you're watching or whatever you're paying attention to, but the very first thing you think of when you wake up is, thank God, I've got another day. Thank God. I got another day that I can give God glory. What have we done that on Monday? What have we done that on Tuesday? What have we done that on Wednesday? What have we done that on Thursday? What have we done that on Friday? What have we done that on Saturday? I'll tell you what would happen. We would be what that verse said. We would become an overcomer by the word of our testimony, because every time you bring attention to God, he spins around and he looks at you and he says, you know what? They love me. And if they love me, I'm going to turn my attention to them, and I'm going to help them. I'm going to go towards them. I'm going to do my part, because our part is to praise him. And when we praise him, he does what we cannot do. Amen. Understand today, I'm not discrediting anyone who finds every day that you wake up that your life sucks. Because there's some of you sitting here right now, I see it on your faces. Your life sucks. And your face is betraying you. I get it. I know it's real. But what else I know is real and more powerful is us voicing and celebrating everything good that we can find in our lives. And as a matter of fact, it also places us in the will of God. When life seems to suck, yet we proclaim, it is well. When life is against us in every kind of way, yet we proclaim, it is well. Amen. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he proclaims that fact to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. He says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And listen to verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is Paul telling us? That no matter what happens, find something you can celebrate in the middle of the horrible place that you may find yourself in. Come on. He's saying just find something in the middle of that place. Take me back to my text today. And that brings me back to that text today right now. Praise the Lord. And this is why... Can you do that? Get my text back up there for me. This is what the psalmist said. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. He said, oh my soul, forget not all his benefits. Praise God. I know you may not be benefiting from all of his benefits, but just knowing him, praise God, and loving him. He goes on to say this, who hath forgiven all my iniquities? If you've been to an altar and you have repented and you've been baptized,
baptized in the name of Jesus, and let me just throw this out here. If you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus, next Sunday is your chance, unless you want to do it sooner, because you need to be baptized. If you've never been baptized, and maybe your parent won't let you, you need to drive them crazy this week until you can be baptized. I'll make sure that you're baptized in the name of Jesus next Sunday. We'll make sure the tank is full, and we'll make sure that you have an opportunity to be baptized in Jesus' name. But let me tell you, if you can find yourself and you have repented, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, even though you may be in your horrible place, let me tell you right now, praise God, you may be in that place, but if you can find a place to voice the fact that, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for just saving my soul. I thank you, Jesus, for just waking me up today, praise God. That's what the psalmist was saying, who have forgiven all thy iniquities or sins, who healeth all my diseases. Somebody said, I don't got no disease. That's a good reason to thank God. I don't have cancer. I don't have a sugar diabetes. I don't have heart disease. Thank God for it, praise the Lord. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying this psalmist had an understanding. I'm going to bless the Lord through everything in my life. I'm going to let him know, Lord, my life may not all be perfect, but it is well. Amen. His name is Horatio Spafford. This is him behind me. He was a successful businessman in Chicago in the late 1800s. In 1871, his four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. This is him between his wife. In that same year, this successful businessman, with all of his business right there in Chicago, we know it as the Great Fire of Chicago. Most of his real estate was destroyed during that time, devastating his business and pretty much wiping out everything that he had. Them two things alone would be absolutely unbearable when you lose your four-year-old son and you lose your entire business at this time. Them two things would be absolutely tragic. But Spafford decided to take his wife and his four remaining children, which was four girls, and decided to sail across into England, where the D.L. Moody, the great 19th century evangelist, was preaching there at that time. But because of the delay, Horatio was unable to go at that time. Something held him back with the business, and he sends his wife and his four daughters ahead of him in a ship to England. Horatio, he eventually found out, he got a notification from England. To think they didn't have cell phones during that time. So he got a telegram from his wife. I didn't put what it said, but I want to think it was something of this nature that he said. Saved alone. Because what happened? Another ship ran into their ship. 200 plus people died, including his four daughters. Horatio immediately set sail for England. Guys, don't stay with me, okay? I don't got much more. Stay with me. Horatio immediately set sail for England. At one point during his voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy that had struck his family, summoned Horatio and said to let him know, we are now passing over the spot of the shipwreck of where your four daughters died. Horatio standing there on the bow of that ship, his daughters dying, he thought, and words of comfort and hope filled his heart and his mind. He wrote them down, and they have since become a very well-beloved hymn. Put that up there. This is what he actually wrote down. This is a photocopy
of the original song. And you may know the song if you've been around church long enough. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows the seas bellows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, those trials should come, lest that blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless state and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford knew something about life's unexpected challenges, but he responded. No doubt, he thought about Paul's words in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to tell you today that life can be so unpredictable. Come on, I want somebody to hang with me. Guys, back here in the corner, y'all listen to me. Listen to me, because this affects y'all majorly. Y'all listen to me. You can talk in a few minutes. I got a few minutes more and I'll be done. Life can be unpredictable. Joy and sorrow, incredible blessings come our way. But then some of the most distressing, difficult, hard things can unexpectedly come to our lives, just as we have seen over the last several years. Our life's dreams and plans can change in an instant, just like Jenkins did in 2019. Just like Texas has did in August of 2021. We all know this to be very true. Sister Stephanie seen it in 2016 and 2020. So how can we find peace in the middle of such these terrible things? Maybe we cannot always say that everything is well in all aspects of our life. And there may also be some storms that we're going to face, and there's going to be tragedies. But if we can have faith in a loving God and trust in His divine presence, in His divine help, surely we can find a place in our life that we can confidently say, it is well with my soul. It is well. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Who forgiveth all of our iniquities. I bring this message to a close today. Let me say, I know we have suffered much tragedy as a church. Some of you have suffered as an individual so much more tragedy yourself. The loss of people to death and some going back to the ways of the world. But this church, Harvest House, is still the best hope of this county and this city to make heaven their home. Those of you that's in here today, some of you run around and act like it does. Church doesn't matter, but it does matter because you keep showing back up. And my only hope is that you're going to get it one of these days. You're going to break through that depression. You're going to start celebrating victories every day. That's my hope, praise God. As I was praying yesterday morning, I began to call some of your names out. And I began to say, oh God, if Harvest House wasn't there, where would they be? What would they do? Oh, come on. This church is your hope of this city, praise God. This church, oh, come on. Because of this church, there are people in heaven right now. They were born again of the water and of the Spirit. And they're waiting for us to get to heaven. They're waiting on the other side for us to get there.
I get it. I know life may be hard. And people has wronged us. People has hurt us. But let's not forget what the Apostle Paul reminded us of, that hope, when he penned those words in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19. When he said, in this life, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. I know they hurt you. I know they wronged you. I know you're angry. I know you're having problem forgiving it. I know it's an issue in your life. Maybe your mom or your dad or your spouse or your friend or your ex or somebody has hurt you and you're having trouble getting over it. You was betrayed. You're having trouble saying it is well because of some hatred and unforgiveness in your heart. I understand it. But somehow we've got to find a place that we thank God and we say it as well. And if you're having trouble forgiving that person, then I have someone to help me preach the importance of forgiveness today. Somebody who has already made heaven their home. What about Bear Jacob?
You know, if Jesus could hang on that cross and forgive us, then why can we not forgive others in our past?
Amen. Right.
You know, I know there's people whose dads have treated them like garbage. And there's people who've been molested by people that they thought they could trust. But you've got to forgive those people so God can forgive you. Plus, the Bible also tells you, if you forgive them, that you've told upon their head.
Yeah.
Let them be the ones to suffer. Let them be the ones that's got to get rid of their past. Because you've got rid of yours.
Mom, come on now.
Brother Donnie made it. Amen. He's already there. You know why he is? Because of this church. Because this church was in this city. And he preached the word of God. He didn't get to preach as much as he wanted to preach. But that one sermon there alone. You can go back and listen to that sermon in its entirety on our podcast. About getting beyond your past and going on into your future. And some of you young people, you rode on that bus with Brother Donnie. He brought you to this church on that bus. I've seen a memory not too long ago that you shared, Preston, about y'all changing a church tire bus. And I remember stories of how you and Donnie was there and how y'all you helped him with the bus and all. He said, I'll get Preston to help me with that. Heard somebody say this week, Jesus asked you to pack your cross because you're going to end up being crucified on it. I get it. I get it. Living for God's not easy. It's a heavy load to carry. Especially as a young person, when everybody else is acting like idiots and everybody else is dressed like the world and acting like the world. I know it's a pressure to be an apostolic young person, but this is what God's called us to be here as an apostolic church, because it will change your life.
Amen.
And there's a heavy cross to pack, Jimmy. I understand it. I get it. It's hard to pack. But the only way we'll make heaven is packing our cross. By getting our flesh under control through crucifying our flesh by prayer and obeying His word and fasting and submission to the ways of God and being willing to say, God, it is well with my soul. Everything's not perfect, but it's well with my soul.
Amen.
I get it. I understand. But if it helps any today, have somebody else to help us today. Somebody that packed his heavy cross. But in the end, it paid off. And it's well with his soul. And they're in heaven. And they're waiting for us.
It's time to stop sitting back and sitting on the cross. And leaving the cross in a corner.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Well, or to get, you know, looked at by people at a distance. It's time to pack the cross on your shoulder and take it to the people and let them see.
Come on, amen.
It's hit me harder today. I laid down trying to take a nap, and I couldn't do it. God just wouldn't let me go. I have thought and thought and thought all day long. I see a church that's struggling. I see a church that is, we're striving to do the best that we can. And it's time to stop striving. It's time to start doing. By the power of Jesus, this place is going to be on fire for God one way or another. Brother Daniel has preached it. I've heard pastors come in here and preach it. If you don't like it, home's the best place for you.
I'm not just trying to play with your emotions today. If you don't know, that's Brother John Autry, Sister Stephanie's husband, an integral part of this church. He preached that sermon and he said, this place is going to be full. We have seen a lot of hail hit this church since that time. And Brother Jay, we have forgotten what it's like to go through hell and at the end of it stand up and say, it is well. It is well. Why is it well? My life is falling apart. The church looked like it's slipping away. And there's some would even say, is Harvest House going to close? Is it going to make it? But I'm reminded of my words of my friend, Brother John, when he said, this church is going to be full. You know what he's saying? It is well, praise God. I know you're depressed. I know you're fighting suicide. I know you're fighting spirits in your life. But it's not about this life. It's about life eternal. And Brother John has made it. And Brother Donnie has made it. And others has made it. Praise God. Let their words speak to us today. Let's be willing to stand up and say, though I'm fighting hell, and though my life is not perfect, you might not have got your KU bill paid this week. You might not have got your water bill paid this week, but bless God, if you're on your way to heaven, it is well. It is well with my soul, praise God. Oh, come on. I'm telling you right now, for me to live, praise God, is gain to you, but for me to die is for me to see John. It is to see Donnie, praise God. It's to see Brother Jack that you guys don't remember. It's to see my mama and my daddy and the brother that I've never met and my wife's mother again and my grandmother's, praise God. I'm not living just for this life. Why can I say it is well? It's because, praise God, I'm not living for this life. I'm living for eternity. And that's why the devil wants you to press. And that's why some of you are still sitting on your seat as I'm speaking right now, praise God. The devil's got you convinced it's all about this life. That's why you can't stand up and say it as well. Because you've not really sold yourself out to the fact, if I don't get this life fixed, praise God, I'm not going to do anything. I'm telling you right now, if you'll surrender yourself to God, if you'll surrender yourself to Him right now, listen to me. I know. I get it. Looking at our church, I've heard it told twice this last week. Maybe that's why I fought so much hell this last week. I've heard it told twice to me from people, praise the Lord. One that's connected to the church and one that's outside the church. All there is in that church is drama and kids running around doing vapes and cussing one another and this and that. I've heard that twice this week. But baby, let me tell you something. The best hope of eternity is right here, praise God, in this church, praise God. It may be a mess in here. It may look like a mess in this building, but it was a mess in Noah's house, praise God. It was a mess in that boat. There was elephant poop. There was donkey poop, horse poop, any kind of poop you want to think about. It was nasty. It stunk. But honey, let me tell you, any day inside the ark is better than it is on the outside of the ark. It is well. It is well with my soul. Thank God we got a church in Marion, praise God.
I'll tell you what Harvest House has proved.
It has proved that it can get somebody to heaven.
Unfortunately, the only way to know that is you got to die. But here's a sad fact too. There's been some that's died. I hope I see them. But it's not because we didn't give them a chance.
It's not because we didn't give them an opportunity, praise God. Some of John's last days in Indiana, his mama told me he had found a black Pentecostal church that he was going to just a little bit before he died. And as I gone through pictures, I seen where I baptized John in the name of Jesus, praise God. And John's best hope, hallelujah, of being in heaven, it started right here in this church, hallelujah. You hear me today? Your best chance of making heaven your home is in this church. But it don't do you no good just to sit here some way. You got to rise up and you got to start shouting the victory in the good days and in the bad days. And you got to be willing to say, my life is not all good. As a matter of fact, my life as a whole sucks. But you know what? I'm a part of the church of the living God. I'm a part of it, praise God. And it's time to let the devil know that no matter what you go through, no matter what you do to me, devil, no matter what you do to me here on this earth, it is well with my soul.
If you don't want to, I don't care. She don't want to. You know why? She understands the exact same thing.
Amen.
I got to get for myself. Mm-hmm. I'm calling on you right now.
I'm calling on this church right now. You can sit there where you are if you want to. But if you're sick and tired of the devil fighting our church, we have looked and we have concentrated on the things that God has taken away. But there's some stuff that we still got in this church. You know what that is? It's called the name of Jesus. It's called being born again of the water and of the Spirit, praise God. And if you're tired of hell fighting against you, I wish you would rise up. You don't got to be a sinner. You don't got to be a saint. You can be a sinner. You don't got to have your life perfect. It doesn't matter. All that matters, praise God, that you've got breath. I wish somebody would come up and you would begin to use your breath and magnify God. Hallelujah. If all you can say is, God, my life's not good, but it is well, because I'm going to make heaven my home. I'm going to make heaven my home. No matter what, I'm going to make heaven my home.